Wednesday of the month, so it is going to be our singing service. I always look forward to these times that we get to be able to be together and to sing. It's something I enjoy, and I hope that you guys are looking forward to this as well. I hope you brought your voices so you can sing loud. So we're going to go ahead and get started here. We have a couple of gentlemen that are going to lead some songs for us. And we're going to do kind of like what the last time I organized it, I kind of did like a song study where we took a hymn that we were all very familiar with and just kind of broke it down a little bit, verse by verse. We'll be doing the same thing tonight. Some of you might be familiar with the verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. My family, we have had to visit this house of mourning recently and the loss of my grandfather. We called him Papo, and I wanted to take this opportunity to thank you all during that time. The love of this congregation was felt by Corey and I, so I wanted to thank you for that. And he was a wonderful man. He was known far and wide for his nurturing soul. He really was a man that could look at a piece of garbage on the ground and somehow turn that into a life lesson that you didn't ask for. But my family has been mourning his loss, knowing that we're not going to be able to hug him or be graced by his presence anymore. But we're also rejoicing in the hope that we have is that now that he's in the arms of Jesus, free of pain and whole again. And that back and forth of those emotions can be exhausting. How can we feel those emotions so strongly at the same time while they are so vastly different? And tonight we're going to focus on some words that we have no problem singing, but sometimes we have a little bit more of a problem saying. And that is, it is well with my soul. This hymn was written in 1873 by a man by the name of Horatio G. Spafford. He lived from 1828 to 1888. Most of his life was spent in Chicago, Illinois. He had established a very successful career as a lawyer, but was also a devout man of faith. He had a loving wife named Anna and four beautiful daughters named Annie, Maggie, Bessie, and Tanetta. And there is a moment in American history that some of you may have heard of, the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. It burned from October 8th to October 10th. The fire killed 300 people, destroyed over 17,000 structures over 3.3 square miles, and left more than 100,000 residents homeless. And among those residents affected, Mr. Spafford suffered the trauma of loss as well. He had invested heavily in real estate along the Lake Michigan shoreline, and he lost his entire investment in the fire, and the majority of his fortune went with it. In desiring a rest for his wife and four daughters, Spafford planned a European trip for his family in 1873, and in November of that year, due to unexpected last-minute business developments, he had to remain in Chicago, but sent his family on ahead as scheduled on the SS Ville du Havre, expecting to follow in a few days. Tragically, that ship was struck by an English vessel and sank in 12 minutes, taking the lives of Horatio's four daughters. His wife survived and was picked up by a rescue ship, and a few days later, whenever she landed in Wales, she sent a cable to her husband with two haunting words, "Saved alone." Spafford left immediately to join his grieving wife and was inspired to write this hymn as his ship passed near where his daughters had died. So tonight we're going to dwell on these words and what they mean for us in our physical life, but also in our spiritual lives. We can feel pain and grief in our earthly lives, but can take comfort in the healing wings of God the Father and be transformed by the renewing love of Christ. We talked earlier about the house of mourning and the house of feasting. But the reality is that we may not all be in the same house at the same time. And I don't know which house you might be in tonight. You might be in the house of feasting where you can thank God for the abundance of blessings that you feel and that you see in your everyday life. You may be in the house of anxiety, where every step that you take on your path is a step into uncertainty and frustration. You may be in a house of confusion, where you don't know where you stand in your life or in your relationship with God. But my prayer this evening is that these hymns speak to us. Wherever you may be, whichever house you may be in, that hopefully that they can comfort you and teach us to be able to say, no matter my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. We'll open with an opening prayer, and then we'll get into the singing.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we bow before you at this time, in the middle of this week, thanking you that we can come before you and worship with those of like faith. We can take time from the week and that we can think about the things of your word and your works and your love and your mercy and your grace. We can forget about the cares of this world for a moment. That we can focus on the salvation that we have through you. We realize how blessed we are to be able to come and worship you in a free country without fear of persecution. How blessed we are that we can approach your throne, that we can sing songs of praises to you, that we can edify one another, offer prayers to you, and communicate with you our desires and our wants and our cares and our fears. May we lay our burdens down so that you may comfort us when we need it. We pray that as we face temptations, that we come to you in prayer and ask for help through those times. That we prepare our hearts so that we can always overcome those times of turmoil or temptations. And when we get to enjoy the things of this life, may we continue to lift each other up and rejoice with one another. We're thankful for the times that our prayers are answered. We realize how often we come to you and those prayers are answered, and we thank you for those. We have a number of our congregation who battle illnesses, who battle spiritual conflicts, and we pray that you will continue to use us to help them, that you will comfort them as only you can. Our goal, Lord, is to serve you and to be better servants of yours so that we can ultimately have a home in heaven one day with you. We pray that we will strive toward that mark, and when we fall short, we pray that you'll forgive us. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who gave that sacrifice so that we can be forgiven of those sins, that we live a life that is pleasing unto you, and we're thankful that we can approach your throne if we are living the righteous life and that we know that you will hear our prayers. Be with us throughout this hour as we study from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Number 87 in a large songbook, Be Still My Soul. These first three songs have a lot of meaning, and Daniel didn't know it, but they're three of my most favorite songs that we sing. They say a lot about inner peace and knowing that God is there and asking him to be with us. Let's all think about these words as we sing these songs and let them edify each of us as well as we praise our God. Be still, my soul.
Be still, my soul, my Lord.
Oh,
abide with me. Passes by, number 50 in the supplement.
Oh.
next song will be Healing in Its Wings. Be number 115 in the supplement. Father's love.
Amen.
2 in the supplement. And Can It Be, number 102. Number 578, The Old Rugged Cross.
For a world of lost sinners.
Christ alone. So I'll leave you on the screen behind me. Amazing Grace. Number 205, Amazing Grace.
Don't worry, we're going to sing it as well with my soul. That'll be the invitation song. It really was fun doing some research on the gentleman that wrote this poem that was later turned into a hymn. When I was thinking about it, when I read about his life story and the things that he had to endure, it kind of reminded me of Job. Job, in that he lost his children. He lost his fortune. And still was able to praise God. And Horatio reminded me of that. And the fact that he still managed to maintain his faith in a way that has been so encouraging to so many people around the world. And here we are 150 years later, we're still singing his words because we relate to them so much. The final verse of this song reads, "And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." The tone changes. It changes from dwelling on the past and the sins that Horatio had committed, that we have committed, and it changes to dwelling on the future. And when we will be able to see Jesus and the joy that we will feel whenever we get to gaze upon his glory. And it reflects on what our attitude should be for that day. Lord, haste the day. We should be living in such a way that we don't fear that day, but instead that we wish that it was here, right now. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that comes to mind. If you want, you can open up there. I'm going to read it out loud. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed." That's what we have to look forward to as Christians. Not dwelling on the fact that we are sinful creatures, that we have broken the relationship that we have with God, only for God to have to repair that relationship, but that we have the encouragement, the hope that one day, whether it is on the day that Jesus comes again or it's the last day of our lives, but the last day when the faith becomes sight. There's a verse to the poem that Horatio penned that is not often included in the song, but it's beautiful. "But Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul." That last phrase, "blessed rest of my soul," is my favorite line of that verse, because when you're in a situation where you have to lean on God, you have to be able to say, "It is well with my soul," no matter the pain that you're feeling, you're often weak. You're often worn out. You're stretched thin. But the love of God, his salvation, gives us rest. Jesus said himself, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So if you're looking for rest or relief in the things of the world, you're going to be greatly disappointed. If you're looking for meaning in the fleeting pleasures that this world has to offer, you're going to find nothing. But if you look to Jesus, who regarded your helpless estate, who shed his blood for your soul, nailed your sins to the cross, not in part, but the whole. Jesus can give you the rest that you desire. If there is anyone here that is saying that, and whether it comes easy or it comes very difficult, it is well with my soul. Know that God hears you. That God is with you. And God cares for you and God uplifts you. And we have the opportunity now that if you want to enter into that relationship with God, to enter that rest, we have water here that can be that can baptize you, that can wash you of your sins. So if there's anyone here that would like to partake in that, please come forward as we sing, "It Is Well With My Soul."
It is